Sarsha, by Yakhel alone, is where we see the effect of the leap year. We are now in the leap month, Adar Rishon. This Shabbos is Shabbos Mevorchem Adar Sheni. So this is the Shabbos that takes us from Adar Rishon to Adar Sheni. As we know, Shabbos Mevorchem connects the previous month to the upcoming month. In this case, the two Adars are connected by this parasha Vayakhel, and when it is a leap year, Vayakhel, which normally is connected to Pekuda, is separated. Here's where we have the first separation of a normally double parasha. As this entire year, we will see there will be no double parashas. It's one of the unique items of this year, is that there is not one double parasha, including Matos Masai, which again is not going to happen in a very long time. The first double parsha to be separated is Vayakhel Pekuda. Vayakhel by itself, which is read this Shabbos, takes us into Adar Sheni, and we have a chance to read the Haftorah of Vayakhel, which also is rarely read, because in a regular year, Vayakhel, which is usually together, which is together with Pekuda, is either Parshas HaChodesh or is Parshas Parah. So we don't get to read the Haftorah of Vayakhel or Pekuda. But in a leap year, not only do we get to go through each of these parashios by themselves and not have to do it together with another parasha, but we also get to read many of the haftarahs that in normal years are not read. The haftarah that we read this week, interestingly, is actually a dispute between the Sfaradim and the Ashkenazim. Not all Chumashim have it, but many of the Chumashim, we are told that Ashkenaz is Vayas Chiroim, which incidentally is read at a different time during the year as well, when there are two Shabbosos of Chanukah. The second Shabbos Chanukah is the Haftorah of this week's parasha, of Vayas Chirom, of Vayakhel. Some Sfardim read a different Haftorah, but it's from the same chapter, really. It's just from previous Psukim. So basically, we're both reading, whether you're Ashkenaz or Sfard, it's from Melachim Perek Zayin, and it's about Shlomo HaMelech building the Beis HaMikdash together with Chirom, and who is also called Chiroim, who was from Naphtali and Dan. His mother was from Dan, and his father was from Naphtali, as the Pasuk tells us in Melachim, and also in Divrei Hayomim. The connection to the parasha is obvious. The parasha speaks about the construction of the Mishkan by Bezalel and Aholiyav, and all the Chachmei Lev. The Haftarah speaks about the building of the Beis HaMikdash by Shlomo HaMelech and Chirom. The Arizal says that Shlomo HaMelech was a Gilgal of Bezalel. Bezalel, who is from Yehuda, builds the Mishkan together with Aholiyav, who is from Dan. Rashi tells us that we have here the two extremes of the Shvatim. We have Yehuda, who is from the highest of the Shvatim, and Dan, who is from the lowest. Min ha-Yerudin Sheba Shvatim, Yibnei HaShvachas. He's from the lowest, from the downtrodden of the Shvatim, from the maids, from the child of Zilpah, Bilhah rather. And the Torah compares him to Bezalel, and Rashi quotes a pasuk in Iyov, "V'leinikar shoya lifnei dol." There is no recognition of the nobleman in front of the poor man. In other words, to Hashem, everyone's the same. Just because one is rich and one is a nobleman, he doesn't get more recognition from Hashem than the poor man. Now, what's interesting is this connection between Bezalel and Aholiyav is not mentioned here for the first time. We already learned this in Parshas Kisisa. In Parshas Kisisa, we already were told that there's going to be a Mishkan that is going to be built by Bezalel and Aholiyav. Re'ei Karasi B'Shem Bezalel. And then afterwards, V'ani Hinei Nosati Ito Eis Aholiyav Ben Achisamach. There, Rashi doesn't say anything. He does not tell us about Bezalel and Aholiyav together building the Mishkan, neither does he quote this pasuk in Iyov. Why does he wait till Parshas Vayakhel to tell us what should have been already said before, when Bezalel and Aholiyav were mentioned for the first time? The name of this parasha is Vayakhel. Vayakhel means, "and he gathered." There is no other parasha that begins with a verb, Vayakhel, such as this, although we know Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the Jews many times. The Medrash says Moshe Rabbeinu would gather the Jews every Shabbos. And this is a remez and a lesson that all the Rabbonim are supposed to gather their kehilos on Shabbos and teach them the halachas of Shabbos, or about the parasha, or halachas in general. Makil kehilois v'chol Shabbos v'Shabbos. Vayakhel Moshe. Why is this said here? What's very, very puzzling is also the fact that three quarters, or I would rather say 99% of this week's parasha has already been learned before. We already learned Parashas Truma. Parashas Truma discusses all the details of the Mishkan and all the vessels of the Mishkan and all the materials that the Mishkan was made out of. Parashas Vayakhel is practically a repeat. In fact, for a Baal Koyre, it's quite easy to read to learn Vayakhel because it's almost the same like Truma. He just has to remember the different little details that are different. And otherwise, it's practically the same thing over again. Why would the Torah...
Why are the details different?
Some of the trup is a little different, I'm saying, but otherwise, practically the same. No, the actual discussion is exactly the same, but the only difference is Truma is the command to build the Mishkan. Vayakhel is in actuality. This is where it's being done. That's why it says over and over again, Vayas, 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 and he made this, and he made this. What we learned about in Truma is being repeated in Vayakhel. What we learned about in Tetzaveh is being repeated in Pekudei, Bigdei Kehuna, and so on. The Torah is careful.
But the specs are all the same.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's all the same. The Torah is usually so careful not to repeat. We know there's not even one extra letter. And here an entire parasha is repeating itself. It should have just said, and Moshe Rabbeinu told Bezalel to make the Mishkan, and he did it. Kashat Siva Hashem es Moshe, and Parashas Truma. Why the repetition here, over and over again, with all the details, which is very unusual. We find ourselves now also in the 30 days before Purim, before the great Purim, Purim Meshulash, as we mentioned in the previous weeks, and hopefully we'll continue a little bit to go into, so that we can really prepare for this great Purim, which will not be with us, such a Purim, for another 13 years. And with the leap year, not even for 44 years, as mentioned, this is a very, very unique year. And the fact that this is a Purim that has been publicized, this is the Purim of the triple Purim, and there are many reasons why Purim is split into three, but only in such a year. The Rambam in Hilchas Megillah, the Rambam ends off the first parak of Hilchas Megillah, Parak Aleph Halacha Yud Dalet, where he talks about the various readings of the Megillah, as we read it in the beginning of Mishnah's Megillah, the Gemara Megillah. The Megillah can be read on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th. So the Rambam ends off his halachas when Purim falls out on Shabbos, the 15th, Shushan Purim, as it is this year. So those who live in the walled cities can't read it because it's Shabbos. There's a gezeirah not to read the Megillah on Shabbos. So they read it the day earlier. And the people who live in the open cities, like us, read it on Friday, which is the normal time for them to read it. And then he ends off with the following phrase. I haven't found anyone to discuss why the Rambam has to end off with this phrase. But this is what the Rambam, he says, it comes out, Nimtz HaKol Koirin HaMegillah Barba Asa. So everyone is reading the Megillah on the 14th. Well, obviously. What does the Rambam have to say that for? If those who live in the walled cities are reading it a day earlier because they can't read it on Shabbos, and then, of course, Friday, which is the 14th, is when everyone else reads the Megillah, so naturally, everyone is reading the Megillah on the 14th.
Not necessarily.
When else can you read the Megillah?
We have allowances for people to read it on the 12th and the 13th also.
Yeah, but in such a situation, everyone reads it on the 14th.
That's why the Rambam is saying, everybody's on the 14th. It's the only time when everybody is doing it the same shot.
Right, but had he not said that, we would know that those who live in the walled cities and those who live in open cities are reading it on the 14th. He said, those who live in the walled cities are reading it on the 14th, a day earlier, mm-hmm. and those who normally read it on the 14th are reading it on the 14th. So you know, obviously everyone's reading it on the 14th. Why does he have to add? I mean, that's what he's saying, true. And if he wouldn't say that, I wouldn't know that everyone's reading it on the 14th.
Maybe.
When else? There's
maybe
no other time to read it.
Those who are doing it on the 12th or the 13th, it may still be doing it.
That could only be, those who read it on the 12th and the 13th only read it when Purim falls out, let's say, Wednesday or Tuesday. The Rambam already discussed that before. He already told you the scenario of 12 and 13 and 11. So in this particular scenario, everyone is reading it on the 14th. It's understood. Why does he have to add the fact that we are all reading it on the 14th? So in order to perhaps understand what the Rambam is saying, or at least what he's hinting, I wouldn't say that it's halachic or the pshat in the Rambam, but perhaps it's a remez in the Rambam, is this parasha Vayakhel comes after the Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel we also find a similar word the Torah uses, Vayikohel Ha'am al Aharon. The nation gathered over Aharon. There was also a Vayakhel over there. But that was a negative Vayakhel. They were gathering for an evil purpose. They were gathering for the ego. This Vayakhel is rectification for that Vayakhel. This parsha is the tikkun for Chet HaEgel. This is the parsha that comes after Chet HaEgel. After Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the second luchos. As Rashi says, this occurred the day after Yom Kippur, Lamachras Yom HaKippurim, and he tells Klal Yisrael, "There's hope. You're being told to build a mishkan. The mishkan is a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. You donate gold for the mishkan. That'll be a kapara for your donating gold for the egel." But before that, Moshe Rabbeinu tells him about Shabbos. Vayakel Moshe's koladas b'nei Yisrael vayimur aleim eila hadvarim asher tziva Hashem la'aseis ha'ezom. 6 days you shall do work, and on the seventh day you rest. And then he says, do not ignite a fire. Lo'yseva'aru eish b'chol Moshe v'yseichem b'yayim ha'Shabbos. And the obvious question is, there are 39 malachas. Why is this malacha being mentioned more than any other? And the Gemara gives two answers. There's a machlokes whether because Havara is only a lav, there is no kores for this lav, like all the other malachas, or it's to teach us that when one does all 39 malachas on Shabbos, he has to bring 39 chatois, l'chalek yotza. So knows that each malacha itself gets its specific punishment. If one did all amites malachas behelam achas, he wouldn't bring only one chatas, he would bring 39 chatois. The fact that the Torah enumerates this malacha here means that all the malachas are considered separate malachas as far as chatois are concerned. The obvious question is, though, why does the Torah pick this one, though? There are 39 malachas, why did the Torah only choose lighting a fire? The Imre Emes answers, because we know Hashem rested on Shabbos from all the malachas, from all that he did during the 6 days of the week. Fire had not been created until Motzoi Shabbos. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi says that on Motzoi Shabbos, Hashem gave wisdom to Adam HaRishon to take two racks and rub them together and create a fire. So fire wasn't created, although he says, yes, there was fire before, Shamayim is Eshumayim, and so on. But the fire that we're talking about here, what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, was not created until Motzoi Shabbos. Therefore, one perhaps might think that lighting a fire maybe is different than the other malachos. So therefore the Torah has to mention Le'sevaruesh, because it was not something which occurred during the 6 days of creation. That's what the Imre Emes says. The Zohar says, Le'sevaruesh means do not get angry. Don't burn inside of you the fire of anger, which anger is an expression that's used in the Torah with fire. V'chamosoi bo'arabo, he says the pasuk in the Megillah, which we're reading these days, preparing for. And his anger broiled inside of him, when it says that Achashverosh got the message from Vashti. V'chamas ha'melech shochocha, and the anger of the king calmed. When we say someone is not angry anymore, we say he calmed down. An angry person, the cartoons will show an angry person with smoke coming out of his nose. Actually, it's a pasuk. Allah oshon ba'apoi. The pasuk says, based on the pasuk, even the cartoons are based on psukkot. So anger is rooted in fire. In fact, we know that a person is created from earth, wind, water, and fire. And the anger that a person has comes from the fire part that exists in him. Says the pasuk here, Lo'yseva'aru esh, you shall not ignite a fire in all your dwelling places, b'yayim ha'Shabbos. One should not get angry on Shabbos. What does that mean? During the week it's okay to get angry? The Chida asks. So the Chida answers, getting angry on Shabbos is worse than getting angry during the week. On Shabbos there's no Gehenim. All the neshamas that are in Gehenim go out of Gehenim on Friday before Shabbos starts. They go back after Shabbos. That's why we say V'hinoam Motzoi Shabbos. We ask Hashem to have mercy on them. Next week's Gehenim shouldn't be as hot as the one before. So on Shabbos there's no Gehenim. Hashem doesn't get angry on Shabbos. And the halacha is that Misas Bezdin is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. If one is Mechuy of Misa, we do not kill him on Shabbos. There's no din on Shabbos. Shabbos is a day when the Midas Hadin dissipates. There is no Midas Hadin. Anger is Midas Hadin. Anger is compared to Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says whoever gets angry is as if he's he worshipped idols. Shabbos is a day of peace. We get together with family. We get together with friends. We get together in shul, in the Beis HaKnesses. The Torah is commanding us that on Shabbos, more so than any other time, we should not get angry. Shabbos is a tikkun for the Chet HaEgel. Anger is compared to Avodah Zorah. Egel is Avodah Zorah. Shabbos is the tikkun for Avodah Zorah. So on Shabbos, we're told not to get angry. Not that during the week one is allowed to get angry, but on Shabbos, the effect of anger is more detrimental. As the Chidah says, when one gets angry on Shabbos, one causes the fires of Gehenim to rise. The fires of Gehenim are shut down on Shabbos. So, Lo Yisva'a Arueish, you shall not cause the fires of Gehenim to be flamed, to rise because of your anger. It's interesting, the Arizal says, the Balatanya brings it down in the Geras HaTshuva, that for every chait, there's a certain amount of fasts that one is supposed to fast. And today, no one really does that. We're not on that level. So today, we're told to redeem our sins with tzedakah. But the Arizal says that for anger, one is supposed to fast 151 fasts. Kuf Nun Aleph. Why? I don't know. I certainly don't know what the Arizal, of course, has all his reasons rooted in Kabbalah and so on. But it's interesting, the Vayakhel is B'gematria 151, which is the amount of fast that one is supposed to fast for anger. The Chidah says Vayakhel is B'gematria Mikveh. When one unites with another Jew, it has the power of Mikveh and it has the power of 151 fasts. Vayakhel Moshe is Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. The first tikkun for the Chet HaEgel was unity. All the Jews have to unite together. Moshe Rabbeinu gathers all the Jews and he tells them, Eila HaDevarim, these are the words, this is Torah. The purpose of the Torah is that all Jews unite. As the Rambam ends off, Hilchus Chanukah, Lo Nitna Torah Ela Lasid Sholem Ba'olam. Hashem Oiz La'am Oyitein, why? And the Oiz is the Torah, because Hashem Yevarech Es Amoy Vasholoy. Barchenu Avinu is when Kulanu Ke'echod. The Zohar tells us that the Shekhinah does not rest down below if there is no Achdus. Ein hashchina shoyra ba'asar pogim ela ba'asar shalim. Only when there's unity and it's complete, when there's disunity, when there's division, that causes the shchina to leave. It's interesting, tonight is the yard site of the holy Noam Elimelech, Rabbi Elimelech of Lezhensk, Chaf Aleph Adar. Many, in fact, are by his graveside right now. Many go, every year now, many go. The Noam Elimelech, we'll say over a word from him, and it's Chus HaYogin Aleinu. The Noam Elimelech writes in Parshas Devarim that there's a world in Shemayim that's called Kol Yisrael, where all the Jews are rooted. There, no sin, no evil can reach. Where there's Kol Yisrael, where all the Jews are together, there's no evil. No matter what. That's why the Gemara, in fact, says that when the Jews are united, even if they're idol worshippers, no one can harm them. Achav, when he went to battle, and all his soldiers, and he himself was an idol worshipper, it says they always won. They were always victorious because they were united. Chizkiyahu, on the other hand, went to battle with his soldiers, who were all tzaddikim and talmidei chachamim, but they were not victorious because they were not united. We saw what happened with the talmidei Rabbi Akiva, as great as they were. And so, the tragedy that occurred between Pesach and Shavuos. The Egel caused the Shechina to leave the earth. When Hashem first created the world, the Shechina was down here. Iker Shechina b'tachtoinim hoisa, says the Medrash. That the main Shechina was down below. Hashem wants to rest in this world. Adar is aluf dor, says the Svarim. Aluf means master of the world. Alufo shel olam. Dor. Rests, dwells. Adar, which is the last month of the year, and this year we are Zochet to 2, is the month in which we experience the Shechina resting in this world. Aluf Dor, Adar, Odur, I will live, I will dwell. What does Adar have to do with that? Which would mean Purim, because Purim is the Yontif of Adar. Because that's the purpose. The purpose of why Hashem created the world is to dwell in this world. where that everyone recognizes that, that Hashem exists in this world. Not like the Apikarsim, the Kaifrim say, the Minim, the Amalekim. That, yes, okay, there's a God, yeah, he created the world, but Ozav es Ha'aretz, he left the world. It's beyond it. He's too great to deal with this world. He doesn't deal. It's like a king dealing with the garbage. Does the king take the garbage and clean? It's not for Hashem. They try to garb it in that they're having such respect for Hashem and that Hashem can't have anything to do with this world. He's not involved in all the details and all the intricate details that are going on here. That's not for Hashem. He has Malachim to take care of it or others. And that's Kfira. Because we know, as we say in the Animamas, Hashem is not only the Borei, but he's the Manig and knows everything that is going on and is in full control. And the purpose of the Torah, the purpose of Klal Yisrael in this world, is to bring the Shekhinah down to this world, that everyone should recognize that Hashem is not only up there, but he's down here, and is involved in every detail of everyone's life, and our lives, and everything that we do, and everything that everyone does. And he's involved in all the politics, and he's involved in everything that is going on in the world, and he's the one who's doing all of it. And no matter who wins the debate, and who does this primary, and that's all Hashem. Hashem is totally involved. Amalek, of whom we read, Asher Karcha Baderech, and Purim, of course, is the Yom Tov in which we celebrate the victory over Amalek. Amalek believes in coincidence, Asher Karcha, that he encountered, it was an encounter, a chance encounter. Mikra Nikris. There is no Hashgacha, Amalek says. Asher Karcha Baderech. Things happen because they happen, not because there's a divine providence that is in control. So this concept, therefore, of the Shekhinah down in this world, Amalek doesn't believe him. And neither does Achashverosh or Haman, which is the whole purpose of the party. The purpose of the party is to tell Klal Yisrael, this is what you grew up with. You believe that your God is going to dwell in your Beis HaMikdash, is no longer going to be. It's not true. It never was. So why not just enjoy life and come and party with us? Which was what was so dangerous about this party, and why Mordechai and the Chachmei Hador warned the Jews not to go. Attending this party was Asher Karcha Baderech, it was Kfira in Hashgachas Hashem. And that's why after the Egel, where the whole Egel was sort of Kfira in Achdus, it was Kfira in Achdus Hashem, and it was Kfira in Hashgachas Hashem, and it was Kfira in the Amunah in Moshe Rabbeinu. The Shekhinah leaves. The Shekhinah that had returned after Chet Eitz Hadas by Matan Torah leaves after Chet HaEgel. The purpose of the Mishkan was to bring the Shekhinah back down below. V'shachanti b'soicham b'soich kol echad ve'echad. Not only in the Mishkan itself, but in each and every individual. In every Jewish heart, the Shekhinah dwells. And the tikkun for the Chet HaEgel, therefore, is asiyas ha-Mishkan b'gashmias. And when there is no Mishkan, like now, where there is no Beis HaMikdash as of yet, that every one of us is commanded to build our own personal Beis HaMikdash, whether it's in our own heart, in our own home, in our own community, wherever we go. And just as in those days, in Persia, as the Pasuk says, V'samti kisi be'elam, as the Gemara brings this Pasuk at the beginning of the Agadata of Megillah, that I will place my throne in Persia, means that the Shekhinah is felt even in Elam HaMedina, even in Paras Umadai, which is what the Yom Tov of Purim and the whole Nes of Purim prove, that in all the details of the Megillah, from beginning to end, from the party down to the nitty-gritty, and every single part of the whole story, until the last Pasuk, the Dover Shalom L'chol Zaroi, we see Hashgachas Hashem. Even though it was a nice Melubash in Teva, it was not supernatural, yet Hashgachas Hashem is felt throughout this entire story. Vashti wants the women to work on Shabbos. Vashti causes Jews to violate the Shabbos, to desecrate the Shabbos. Vashti, therefore, is killed on Shabbos. Vashti is the same letters as Yeshus. Yeshus means haughtiness, arrogance. A flea is called a Yatosh, Yitosh, Yud Tov Vav Shin. A Yitosh, it says, is Machnes Ve'enai Moitzi. It takes in, it doesn't give out, it doesn't... It doesn't have to relieve itself. It doesn't have an excretory system. It only takes in. What's the idea? The idea is the Yitosh is a simon of a Balgaiv who only takes. He's only interested in taking. He's not interested in giving. He's not Mashpia. He's only Mekabel. So Chazal tell us that if a person thinks that he's great, we tell him, even the Yitosh was before you. Who do you think you are? Hashem created even the little flea before he created the first human. Why do Chazal mention the Yitosh? Because the Yitosh is Machnes Ve'en Emoitzi. So the Yitosh is symbolic of one who's only interested in taking rather than giving. That's Vashti. Vashti is the same letters as Yitosh. Vashti is killed at the beginning of the Megillah. We have to get rid of the Yeshus in order to be Zoicha to Esther. Esther is the opposite of Vashti. Esther, it says, Loi Biksha Dover. She doesn't want anything. When Haggai says to her, what can I give you with perfumes, dresses, to say that Achashverosh will be interested in you, it says, Loi Viksha Dover. Literally, she doesn't want to marry Achashverosh, so she asks for nothing. But that was her midah. Her midah was Loi Viksha Dover. She doesn't want anything. She only wants to be Mashpia. Chas v'shalom. She never wants to take. She only wants to give. The Gemara tells us that one of the prerequisites of the Nes of Purim was the complete destruction of Bavel. V'hichrati le'Bavel shame. A pasuk in Yirmiyah, which the Gemara quotes at the beginning of the sugya of Megillah, v'hichrati le'Bavel shame. And I will remove a name, I will destroy the name from Bavel. Because Bavel was only interested in making a name for itself. Na'aseh lanu shame, we read in Parshas Noach. Let's make a name for ourselves. And that was the Tower of Bavel. That's where the name Bavel comes, because that's where Hashem... Bolal Hashem Sfas Kol Ha'oretz, as the pasuk says in Noach. Their only interest was Nasa Lanu Shame. Let's become famous. Everyone should talk about us. Pride and arrogance. That was Vashti. Vashti, who's the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, who marries Achashverosh. And her Ma'apola takes place as the prelude to the Nes of Purim. V'chrati Le'Bavel Shame. Only interested in oneself. Yeshus, Skaiva. V'chrati Le'Bavel Shame is B'gematria Matanis Le'Avyoinim. Matanis Le'Avyoinim is the opposite of V'nasa Lanu Shein. The whole purpose of Purim, the whole Nes of Purim, is to give to others, and particularly to those who don't have anything, which is the total Achdus, Achdus to unite with every single Jew, even one who is on the lowest level. Achdus is B'gematria Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is the time when we all unite, because Esther paved the way, and she said, just as Moshe Rabbeinu gathers all the Jews here, Vayakel Moshe, to bring them to this world of Kol Yisrael, when all Jews are united, nothing can harm them. It's unfortunate, but if perhaps today we would take that lesson, if there would be someone big enough to actually gather and unite all the Jews today, that would solve all our problems. But the Satan works on that more than anything else, because that's the only and the real key to the Geula is Achdus, Ahavas Yisrael and Achdus Yisrael. So that's why everyone's working on all their signs about everything. But what's really important, which is Achdus and getting along with one another and treating others the way they should and tolerating every group of Jews, that unfortunately is what's missing. It was the Vayakel Moshe that brings to the Hashroas Hashchina of the Mishkan. It was the Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahor that leads to Matan Torah. It was Lech Knoises Kol HaYehudim, which Esther requests of Mordechai, that the only way she's going to succeed entering into Achashverosh's palace and beseeching on behalf of Klal Yisrael is only if Klal Yisrael are gathered together as one. Lech Knoises Kol HaYehudim HaNimtzeim B'Shushan. Vayakel. The name of the parasha is Vayakel, and he gathered. It has the power of a mikveh. One goes into a mikveh, one goes under the water, and one comes out a different person. When all the Jews gather together, they are purified. That's why the pasuk says in Divrei Hayom, which the Gemara quotes in Chagiga, that Amei Haaretz are believed on Yom Tov. It says that there's no tumah on Yom Tov. We believe in Am Haaretz on Yom Tov that he's tahor. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Vayeosev kol ish Yisrael keechad chaverim." All the Jews gather together like one. And when all Jews gather together like one, they're all chaverim, they're all considered tamidei chachamim, there's no tumah. The Gemara is teaching us here the power of Achdus. Achdus has the power of the mikveh, Vayakel b'gematria mikveh. Anger is the source of which is rooted in hatred and pirud, is what leads to division, and the opposite of Achdus is not tolerated, especially on Shabbos, which is a tikkun for Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, even a person who worshipped Avodah Zarah like Enosh, if he keeps Shabbos, Kehil Chazoy, Moichalin Loi. Shoimer Shabbos, Meichal Loi, Mochal Loi. Afilo Avodah Kedar Enosh, Moichalin Loi. The tikkun for Chet Ha'egel was Shmiras Shabbos, which the purpose of Shabbos is to proclaim that Hashem is one, Hashem created the world in 6 days, and Hashem is in full control. Zikorei Lamaisa Bereshis, as we say in Kiddush, which Vashti protested, that's what Vashti doesn't believe in. That's why Vashti tries to get the Bnei Yisrael to work on Shabbos, and she hopes that by bringing Klal Yisrael to violate the Shabbos, there'll be no tikkun for Klal Yisrael. So her mapala is on Shabbos. And the pasuk says, "Vachamosoi bo'araboy." Achashverosh got angry at Vashti, which, as we know, when it says Achashverosh in the Megillah, it refers to Hashem. So Hashem is angry at Vashti. Vashti invoked the anger of Hashem on Shabbos, when one is not supposed to get angry. So Vashti is killed on Shabbos, and with her death, which was the demise of Bavel, the Ichrati leBavel Shem, and the Yeshus and the Gaiva, we are ready now for Esther, who takes her place. And we're ready for the Nes of Purim. The day that Esther goes into Achashverosh was Erev Pesach, Yud Dalet Nisan, which this year falls out on Shabbos. Erev Pesach is when we're busy getting rid of the Chametz. Erev Pesach, says the Chassam Sofer, is when Amalek is going to be destroyed totally. Erev Pesach is when Shaul went to fight Amalek, that famous battle that Shaul has in Sefer Shmuel, which he sort of blew it, if we could use that word, on Shaul, because he didn't kill Agag. That's why we have a Purim. So we thank Shaul, because to him we have a Purim, as the Rishonim said, that Shaul gave us Purim by not killing Agag. So the chait of Shaul is what gave us the great Yom Tov of Purim. Imagine the mitzvahs of Shaul. This was his chait. When was this chait? This chait was Erev Pesach, because the pasuk says, Vayifkadeim batiloyim. He counted them with sheep. When Shaul went to battle Amalek, it says he counted them with sheep. Says the Targum, the Imrei Pischaya, with the sheep of the Korban Pesach. Every Jew gave him a sheep, because they were bringing their Korban Pesach, it was Erev Pesach, and that's how he counted Klal Yisrael, which means the battle against Amalek then was Erev Pesach. That's the time that we're getting rid of the Chametz. Sreifas Chametz, which is Begematria Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is Begematria Tashbisu. On that, proclaiming to the world that Hashem is one, we get rid of the chametz, we get rid of the gaiva. Chametz is gaiva, chametz is anger. The Medrash says, what was Esther doing when Mordechai told her that she has to go to Achashverosh? She was cleaning her room and getting rid of the chametz. Not only she was literally cleaning the room and getting rid of the chametz, she was getting rid of her own inner chametz, whatever chametz Esther had. She was being baidek, she was checking herself from any gaiva or yeshus or kas or anything, any bad meat that she might have, chas v'shalom. And it was on those 3 days that we were zeicher to the Nes of Purim, when Esther orders Klal Yisrael to gather together and to fast on the 14th, on the 15th, and on the 16th of Adar, of Nisan rather, of Nisan. This was Erev Pesach, this was the first day of Pesach, and the 16th day of Nisan, which was the second day of Pesach. It's interesting, as we mentioned last week, the Egel occurred on the 16th of Tammuz, the day that the moon becomes concealed. Haman was killed on the 16th of Nisan. Sodom was destroyed on the 16th of Nisan. The Mun came down for the first time on the 16th of Iyar. A lot of great things happened on the 16th of the month. And this year we are zeichet to the Purim Meshulash, which is going to go into the 16th of the month. Well, how do you like that? I saw one from Rav Wolfson Shlita, who says, Vayava Mordechai, that Mordechai had the power of switching time. He took the 3 days of Nisan and he brought it into Adar. And that was how was Klal Yisrael able to fast on Pesach? You're not allowed to fast. You have to eat matzah. You have to drink the 4 cups. That's a famous question that the Svarim ask. Well, it was a time for Eis Lassis LaHashem, Heferet Teresach, as mentioned at the previous time. So Rav Wolfson said, Vayavar Mordechai. Mordechai switched the time. He brought down from the Svarim that asked, it says that Mashiach is going to come in Nisan, but Nisan asidinli goyel, so how then can we hope every day that the Geula will come when we know it's going to be in Nisan?
Is that then Mashiach will be born? Or no,
not
reveal
born.
Himself?
Reveal himself. Take us out of Golos. We're talking about taking us out of Golos. Asidinli goyel. You know, he can reveal himself really any time, but the time that we're going to go out of Golos, like from Mitzrayim, will be on Pesach. That's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Yeshua says that. That's how we Pascha. So how do we hope every day that he... How could he come today then, or tomorrow, or in the summer, or any other time if it's not Nisan? So he brings down, because Hashem could make any time of the year Nisan. Hashem is the one who created time. So he could switch time. Machlef es hazmanim. It's not a kai, even though to us it doesn't make any sense. But Hashem is the one who is in control of time, especially as we see with the leap year, that the Chachamim have the power to change time. So that's what Mordechai did. Mordechai switched the 3 days of Yudalid, Tesvav, and Tezayin Nisan to Adar, and Yudalid, Tesvav, and Tezayin Adar were brought to Nisan. And that's why he says when the first Purim arrived, when it was the time that they went to kill the enemy, which was Yudalid and Tezvav of Adar, they felt the Kedusha of Yom Tov because he had switched the time, so they felt as if it was Pesach. And he says, therefore, the first time the Torah mentions this, the Megillah mentions, it doesn't say anything about Matanis Le'Avyonim, because it was like Yom Tov, you're not allowed to give tzedakah on Yom Tov. It was first a year later that the Pasuk mentions that he establishes Matanis Le'Avyonim, because the year later they didn't feel that Kedusha anymore, the time was normal then. Pesach was Pesach, and Adar was Adar. Now, without going into the details, but what's interesting, though, is it was a three-day fast. It was Yudalit, Tezvav, Tezayim. The year later, it was only Yudalit and Tezvav. So when do we have the full Yudalit, Tezvav, and Tezayim, which is rooted in the three-day fast of Esther, is only on a Purim Mishulish, like this year, when you have the Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday. When we eat the Suda, according to the Yerushalmi, we eat the Suda on Sunday. We send the Mishleach Manas on Sunday. Again, those who live in Yerushalayim, we all have to be there. Those who live in the walled cities. We're getting ready now for Adar Sheni. Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. What's interesting is when there's a leap year, we read about the Mishkan in both Adars. You read about the Mishkan in Adar Rishon in Parshas Truma Tetzaveh. You read about the actual building of the Mishkan in Adar Sheni in Parshas Vayakal and Pekudei. Anytime the Torah repeats something, that means that there's a special chaviv, it's a special love that Hashem has for that particular event or item or whatever we're talking about. For example, we find in Parshas Chayesara when Eliezer says over everything that happened with Rivka, he repeats the whole story to Lavan. I went here and this happened and that happened. All the details are repeated, and of course all the Mefarshim ask, and Rashi brings it down, Amar Rabbi Acha, what's going on over here? So many mitzvahs are told to us only because of an extra letter, an extra word. We have to harav and work so hard to try to figure it out with a gzeir shava or a kal v'chaymer or whatever. And here, an entire parsha repeats everything that was said before. Eliezer goes through the whole story and the Torah repeats it. Why is that so important? So there we learn out, Yafes yichosan shal avdei avos miterosan shal bonim. There's a special chavivus that Hashem had for the shlichus, the mission of Eliezer, not going into that now, and therefore the Torah gives the whole story, says, repeats the whole story over again. Whenever something is repeated, it's because there's a tremendous chavivus, it is very precious in the eyes of Hashem, so the Torah repeats it. What could be more precious than the concept of the Mishkan, which the whole purpose of the Mishkan is to bring the Shechina down to earth, to show that Hashem is willing to forgive us, despite that there was a chet ha'egel. And therefore the Torah repeats in detail all of the Mishkan, everything that happened with the Mishkan, the commandment of the Mishkan in Parshas Truma is repeated in Vayakal with all the details and everything that a Tzal does. Tetzaveh is repeated in Pekudei. But Rashi chooses to tell us that Betzalel is equated with Ahaliyav in the building of the Mishkan. Rashi chooses to tell this to us in Vayakal, because this is the Parsha which is the name of it is, and he gathered. This is the parsha of Achdus. Here's where you see the Achdus, especially in a leap year, where this is the parsha that connects Adar Rishon to Adar Sheni. So Rashi tells us that when it came to making the Mishkan, Hashem chose from the greatest of the Shvatim to the lowest of the Shvatim, Betzalel and Aholiyav. V'loinikar shoya lefnei dol. Rashi quotes this pasuk. V'loinikar shoya lefnei dol. That there is no favoritism. Hashem doesn't take sides. Hashem doesn't play favorites as if the nobleman is closer to him than the poor man. Matanos le'avyonim, this idea we see on Purim. Minavi adzoke, lech k'noises kol ha'yehudim. Betzalel and Aholiyav together build the Mishkan. Shloimai, who's from Yehuda, builds the Beis HaMikdash together with Chiram, who comes from Don and Naphtali, from the lowest of the Shvatim. There's a medrash that says, Rashi quotes it in Melachim, that when Rachel gave Bilhah to Yaakov, because she herself didn't have any children yet, and she bore to Yaakov Dan and then Naphtali. So it says that Rachel saw Ruach HaKodesh, that from Dan and Naphtali are going to come those who are going to build the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash together with the children of Leah, which is Bezalel and Shlomo. So she said, Naftulei Elikim Niftalti, I have begged, I have beseeched Hashem that I should also, Imachaisi Gam Yacholti, that I should also be equal to my sister. But those weren't Rachel's children. Those were the children of Bilhah who Rachel gave to Yaakov because they were her maid. But Rachel is Zeichel later on to have Binyamin. And from Binyamin comes Mordechai and Esther. And Mordechai and Esther give us the Purim, which is the Yom Tov that unites all the Jews. And the Chelek of Binyamin is very good, is where the Beis HaMikdash is exactly. And the Porsche, and the stone of Binyamin on the Choshen, which is Yoshvei, says is the multicolored stone, which means it includes all the colors of all the Shvatim. Binyamin, which is the letters Minyan Yud Beis. Binyamin was Koilel all the Shvatim, being the last. He was born last, and he includes in him the entire Klal Yisrael, just like the Beis HaMikdash is the place where all of Klal Yisrael go. And that's Ador Sheni. The Arizal tells us that Ador Sheni does not have a specific combination of Hashem's name, which we know every single month has, and every Rosh Chodesh is supposed to have in mind a specific combination of that specific month, but Yud Kei Vav Kei only has 12 combinations. So what happens when you come to Ador Sheni, which is the 13th month? He says, Chodesh Ador Sheni is all the 12 combinations together. It's the Chodesh Kloli. It includes all the Shvatim. There is no month like it, because every month is a particular Shevet. Adar Sheni, Chodesh Adar HaSheni, is B'gematria of Olaynikar Shaya Lefnei Dol. This passage, which Rashi quotes here from Iyoy, it's also B'gematria Ketzam LaChoshech, the end of the darkness. The Choshech that existed in Adar in that year, the year that Haman reigned, the year that Haman was given power, ended with Purim, which the Yerushalmi seems to indicate. Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz brings it in his Sefer on the Megillah that was a year where there was a Shana Me'uberes. So Purim happened in Adar Hasheni, and Haman thought that it would be good to wipe out the Jews in the Adar Sheni, because Adar Sheni has no combination of Hashem's name. It's so far from Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's so far from Nisan. It doesn't even have a specific Shevet. It's a month where there's no mazel, so this is a perfect month for him to wipe out the Jews. What he doesn't realize is Chodesh Adar Hasheni is the month that there's Koil all of Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael are together, when there's Kol Yisrael, no punishment, no pegam can befall them. When there's a Vayakel Moshe, that brings Hashruas Hashchina. That's Adar, Aluf Dor, that the master of the world dwells in this world, which is the opposite of what Amalek stands for. Amalek comes when there's division. The pasuk says, "Vayovay Amalek vayilochem Yisrael berefidim." Refidim is the same letters as peridim, prudim. They're separated. They're divided. Haman says, "Mefuzar u'mefayrod." Mefayrod comes from the word pered, which means separate. They're separated. They don't get along with each other. They're not united, and they weren't. That's why Esther has to beg, Lech Knoises Kol HaYehudim. After Chet HaEgel, Klal Yisrael was not united either. In order to be Zeichet to Hashras HaShechina, the only way that could happen is Vayachel Moshe. And Lo Yisivaru Eish B'chol Moshe V'Seichem. We should not be angry at one another. The Koshnet Samagid writes that Purim has the Kedusha of Shabbos. Kayomim Asher Nochu B'hem HaYehudim E'oyveihem, the Pasuk says that Purim is like Shabbos. The Slonimah writes, actually, that Purim is higher than Shabbos. Purim is Yisoyed Abba, and the Kedusha of Purim is even greater than Shabbos. On Shabbos, we reach the level of Da'as. Lo Da'as ki ani Hashem mekadishcha. But Purim is Adalei Yoda, so Purim is even higher. So if we're not supposed to get angry on Shabbos, we certainly are not supposed to get angry on Purim. Not that Purim people get angry. People are too drunk to get angry. Well, perhaps when they're drunk, they could get angry. Purim has the Kedusha of Shabbos. Purim has the effect of the Mishkan. Purim is a tikkun for Chet HaEgel. Purim is the only Yom Tov, the only time that it says one can receive a kapar even for Chilul Hashem, which even Yom Kippur is not mechaper. Chilul Hashem is b'gematria mikra Megillah, because the reading of the Megillah is a Kiddush Hashem. That's why it's done b'rabim, b'roiv am. And the attendance of Klal Yisrael at the Suda v'Achashverish was a Chilul Hashem. And despite that, Hashem gave us Purim and Hashem gave us the Yeshua, La'yudim ha'isa'ira v'simcha v'sasim v'yikor, a day that one can receive a kapara for everything, even for Chilul Hashem. So we have to prepare for this great Purim, this Purim Meshulash that is coming Now, as we get ready for Adar Hasheni, which this parasha of Vayakhel takes us into Adar Hasheni, and we read again about the Mishkan, and we shouldn't say, oh, we just read it a few weeks ago. The fact that it's the second time, just as in the Megillah, it says Hashenis, Igeres HaPurim Hazais Hashenis, because Purim is the second Matan Torah. Matan Torah on Shavuos, we were sort of coerced, we were forced into it. Purim, we were makabel the Torah Beratzain, willingly. Me'ahavas Hanei, says the Gemara says in Shabbos. Hadar Kiblu HaBimeach HaShveirosh. So Purim is the second and final and eternal connection of Klal Yisrael with the Torah, which the only way to receive the Torah is through Achdus. May we unite and may we utilize the message of the parasha and Bizoicha in our time, because we really need it desperately to the complete and ultimate Geula. May we experience it before Purim so that we could all together celebrate in Yerushalayim Yir HaKadosh this great Purim Mishulash, which will take us even into the second half of the month. Good evening, everyone.